The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Growing up, there was a song that I remember listening to from a group called Semisonic. The song was called Closing Time. And it ends with these words, "Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end." The Gospel of Mark has become one of my favorite stories of the resurrection. Now, in your Bibles, you'll see that Mark has a shorter ending and a longer ending, and many believe the shorter ending that we just heard is the original ending. That's how Mark intended to end his gospel. The women encounter an empty tomb. They hear Jesus has been raised, but they don't see the resurrected Christ. They're afraid, and the gospel ends. Imagine seeing this in a movie playing out. Some people would say, "This is ingenious." Other people would be like, "I want my money back," right? I mean, they're walking through this. When hearing this gospel account this year, what if we looked at this not so much as an ending, but leading us all to a new beginning? The women at the tomb are coming to terms with a new beginning because the world as they knew it was coming to an end. The good news of the resurrection received and shared also means that their lives, as they know it, will come to an end. Make no mistake, grief disrupts our lives. We can say time heals the wounds. We can try to keep busy and get back to a normal routine, a busy routine, but there's a disruption that grief still brings. That loss is still there. And like the women coming to Jesus' tomb, they have a routine in the wake of the death of a loved one. They need to anoint his body. We have our routines. We meet with a funeral home. We have calling hours. There's a funeral or memorial service planned. Maybe a funeral dinner to follow. And as comforting as all that can be, it's never fully adequate, is it? We go back into the world in our routines with grief, a new beginning without someone we knew and loved. And make no mistake, our lives are disrupted, disjointed. So we can relate to the women at the tomb. We all have heard the good news like they just did, but they didn't hear it from Jesus directly. In our grief, God can feel far away at times. In this account that we hear in Mark's gospel, Jesus is nowhere to be found. I understand how the women can hear this good news and still be afraid because death has seemed to not have lost its sting. I too long to say alleluia when at times I'm just consumed by the grief and fear that the sting of death can bring. I believe this is one of the reasons why Christians try to make the gospel be about something else. We see in our society how it's been reduced to moral living, how it's been co-opted and partisan political agendas to be used as an excuse to hate and oppress others. And there are some commentaries that I observed following the latest Pew Research study on church membership in the United States. Since they've been tracking it, it's now at 47% of the population belong to a church, mosque, or synagogue. It's the lowest it's ever been. And some people online were sharing their contempt for Christians because of some of those depictions I just shared. Some shared the reality is they're not surprised because of the unfortunate experiences they've had with Christians, they've had with the church. Yes, make no mistake, the comments range from very ignorant to really heartbreaking. But too many people in our society are not having enough encounters with Christians that experience and share the joy of the crucified and risen Christ. This is why Mark's ending is not really an ending at all. The story invites us to enter this new beginning in a new world where the good news of the resurrection changes everything. When we remain at the tomb, there is no gospel. When we remain at the tomb, we make our faith to be about something else. And that might sustain us for a while. But it is not the eternal promise we have in the crucified and resurrected Christ. Christ has not left us, nor has he left the women. He has promised to be with them. He promises to be with us. And we could be assured of our Lord's abiding presence every time we gather around word and sacrament. Like the women at the tomb, we're commissioned to go out and to bear witness to this good news. Holy Week does not invite us to be mere spectators. We're commissioned to take part in the story. Jesus is the new Adam. And what we have in the crucified and resurrected Christ is a new way to be human. Let me be clear, living in such a way, imitating the way of Christ, might not make a difference in the membership of church institutions, but it might, more importantly, make more disciples of Jesus Christ. It might, more importantly, deepen the discipleship for those already part of the body of Christ. The story continues, and the way of love is being unleashed in this world. We still feel the sting of death in this world, though, right? But let me share with you how the way of love being unleashed can comfort those who grieve. As many of you know, my father died this past September, and I was fortunate enough to take part in a bereavement group through the hospice he was on. It's Good Shepherd Hospice, so it's a faith-based Christian hospice. I just want to throw that out there. And I was, and because of the pandemic, I was actually able to be part of this in Ohio because of Zoom. The group was for people who lost a parent or sibling in particular, and our group from our first session instantly bonded and connected as we shared our experiences and feelings as we were walking through our grief. There is mutual vulnerability in allowing ourselves to share our experiences and feelings, but at the same time a sacred privilege to journey with others as they open up and share as well. Jesus shows us how to be vulnerable in such a way that it can lead to healing, wholeness, and newness of life. While I personally still feel the sting of death, the beauty that emerges from the love and support of this group is evidence for me that the crucified and risen God is in our midst. And these, we were told as we were journeying through our sessions here that these groups will stay connected for years after they formally ended. They'll gather to have pizza together. They'll stay in touch with each other. Our group had formally ended, and we're staying connected. It's a testament to the power of support groups and small groups in general and how we're called to walk and journey with one another, serving each other, washing each other's feet, a story that we hear in Holy Week. Jesus says to love one another, and that's how the world will know that you are my disciples. We bear witness to the crucified and resurrected Christ, and every time we do that, it's a continuation of the Easter story in our world today. Our ministry engages with others, walking with them in this world, imitating the love of Christ who is with us. We don't, for example, we don't just feed the hungry, we walk with them. Our congregation has just started a new feeding ministry on Wednesday evenings, and I've been able to connect with people in the community in ways I've never been able to before when I hand them this meal. The meal is important in and of itself, right? But they're also looking for a connection. They're looking for love. They're looking for belonging. They don't want to feel this God-forsakenness that they may be experiencing, and they don't want just to be assured that God is with them. They want to experience God's abiding presence through the church and its ministry. We're not making the gospel about anything else than the promises that we have in the resurrection. We are commissioned, as the women at the tomb are, to enter into a new beginning. And if you feel that you've screwed up or that you're showing up late, that's the beauty of the resurrection. That's the beauty of Easter. It's not too late to enter this new beginning. You're never going to, if you fall behind, you can get back up, because that's how God's mercy, love, and forgiveness works. The way the world operates is now disrupted by the resurrection in embodying the way of love that we see in Jesus Christ, to wash the feet of the other, to when he lays down his life for us. We too are then called to humble ourselves and imitate the risen one, to go forth and to continue that story that we hear in Mark's gospel. So my sisters and brothers, in the love, mercy, and forgiveness we are promised with the good news of the resurrection, we are assured of new and hopeful beginnings in Christ. And we are called to be a sign of the resurrection, with healing, justice, and mercy being the work and ministry that we are called to do, with the gift of eternal life already underway. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.